We're approaching the end of the Sefer. I know it takes, my landings take a long time. We're approaching the end of the Sefer. And that's okay, because this is good stuff. It's very, very, very big yesodis that we're learning here. And we're on page Reish Nun Beis, Das Midos Secher. And as I said, what we're learning now is Mamisha Hachana for the sugi that we're going to be working on afterwards, the meaning of his bodhidus. We're learning about Mida and Eina Mida. Mida and Eina Mida. And the last thing that we're talking about, without going into the whole thing with the whole Chazara, but the last thing we're learning about is that as Jews, you and I have within us not just a piece of Hashem's infinite love, or a piece of Hashem's gevur, or a piece of Hashem's teferet. That's not who we are. As Jews, the same way that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, I have this beautiful thing in my treasury, it's called Shabbos, and I want you to give it to the Jews. It doesn't mean that Hashem gave us a little piece of Shabbos. It means that Hashem has invited us into his Shabbos. It's a beautiful way of thinking. Hashem has invited us into his Ahava, into his world of Ahava, his world of Gevura, Tiferes, and that's how Hashem has invited us into that world, which is a world of Ein Amida. It's infinite. It's not limited. It's infinite. One of the biggest problems in our lives, Rav Schwartz is explaining, if not the biggest problem in terms of the tikkun that we have to make in our lives, is that we look at ourselves the same way that we look at everything else in the world. We look at ourselves as the same way that this table has a certain mida, it has a certain measurement, whatever this is, it's 6 feet long and 3 feet wide, it's 3 by 6. Whatever it is, the same way this table has a certain measurement, so too, there's a gvul, there's a mida that I have in terms of my using ahava, because we're talking about ahava, capacity to love, whatever it might be. But remember what Rav Schwartz explained last time in the mashal that he gave, is that the mashal of the table, that the other half of the table is covered. It's a tablecloth. And the tablecloth is so convincing, or whatever it is that's covering the second half of the table, is that I actually, to me, it seems that the table is only 3 feet. It's not 6 feet. That's the only thing I know is it's a 3 foot table. But the truth is the table is 6 feet. So I only use 3 feet because that's all I think I have. That's all I think I have. Like imagine if there was a wall and the table somehow was continuing in the other room on the other side of the wall. But in this house, I see the table goes to the wall. That's all I have. Now, if you break the wall, then you discover, wow, I didn't know that. There's another 3 feet of this table. This table goes into the next door apartment. It's an interesting idea, by the way, to do that. All right. This table continues on to the next apartment. I just never knew because the wall's in the way. But if I break the wall, then I realize, wow, I didn't realize that this table is much bigger than I thought. So that's the story of our lives, that we're much bigger than we think. There's much more to us than we think. But it's not just that there's more. It's Ein Sof. The neshama of a Jew is, again, if one learns Pnimius HaTorah, what's the Nishmas Yisrael, to learn in depth and depth and depth what a neshama is, and what that means, that it's Ein Sof. So on page Reish Nun Beis, in the middle of the page, Hadvarim Hem Amukim Ma'od. Hadvarim Hem Amukim Ma'od. This is very, very deep. Adam Mitivai, a person by nature, Mizaha Ba'atzmai Shemidai Savyesh Lahan Gvul. A person by nature, he identifies his midas as having a gvul, as having limitations. Why? Ki higia lahakara sechlis shemhu atzmai nivra balgvul, because in seichel, the seichel tells a person that I am a Nivra. I'm not the Bore. I'm a Nivra. I was created. And every Nivra, as far as I've experienced, as far as what I see, every Nivra is a Baal Gvul. Every Nivra has a Gvul, has a Midah, has limitations. Vadai Shagam L'Midosav Yesh Gvul. So everything in the world has a Gvul. I'm also part of the world, and therefore I'm also Mugbal. Or in a clearer or simpler way, who margish b'mitzias shalemidas ahava shabo yesh gvul. A person feels within himself that within himself he feels that there's only so much love that I can give. And we've heard that term, and sometimes a person feels that. Sometimes you have with a kid that this kid is making you so totally crazy that you feel that you've gone to the limits of the love that you have for the child. That's it. I'm done. So you tell your wife, or you tell your husband, you seem to have a longer table than me. My table ends over here. Whatever, the kid just stole my car and crashed into somebody's backyard and killed four people and a dog, and I was in jail. I'm done. You tell your wife, okay, honey, you take over here. My table ends. Like, homicide is as far as I can go. I can't go any further than this. I'm done. Or I was just talking to a father the other night of a child who is dating a non-Jew very seriously. And the father says that if he does this, I'm done. I'm finished. The wife is saying there's no such thing. You can't say that you're done with him. He's our kid. What do you mean? You can't do that. You can't walk away. And the father is saying, listen, I have my gvul, so this guy's like, Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof. Tradition. So this is now past the gvul, talking about marrying a guy. That's past the gvul. So this child has reached the limits of my love, and I cannot love beyond this border. So we feel that way. I'm giving very extreme examples, but a person feels that way. So not only do we believe that we're limited because of the world that we're living in, which is a nivra, which is we're created beings, and everything that's created is limited. But besides that, I have felt, using love as an example, I have felt that there are people I can't love. You can look around in the shul. You can look around the shul and take a look, like a couple of seats here, a couple of seats there. Usually the person you're sitting next to, not always, usually the person you're sitting next to, you're okay. But if you look around a little bit, you say, no, I can never love this guy. This guy's super annoying. I can never love him. You know why I can't love him? He's constantly picking at his ear. I'm diving next to this guy for 40 years, and I've never told him that I feel like killing him because I can't stand. He's constantly reaching into his ear. Can't take it. So I can never love this guy. He's an ear picker. The other guy's his in Yonamar. This guy wears masks 24 hours. The other guy doesn't believe in masks. I can't love this guy. I hate that guy. Whatever. So you don't have to go too far to come to that conclusion. My love is definitely one that has borders. It has boundaries. Who ohev mishu? So you love somebody. Did you ever meet a divorced couple that didn't say that we loved each other? They didn't admit to it? That there was something else going on? No, usually we were crazy in love. We were meshugah in love. We got married, right out of high school, we got married. We're childhood sweethearts. We're crazy in love. So then what are you doing in Besdin? I don't love her anymore. I only loved her for 4 years. But then I only loved her for 40 years. And now I'm done. So people experience this. I love the person. I no longer love this person. If a husband and wife, they love each other. But the Baruch Shalom gave him a sechta gittin. No? Which means, if the Baruch Shalom gave such a sechta, even if nothing terrible might have transpired, he doesn't love her anymore. She doesn't love him anymore. Whatever happened. Time to move on. Im kein. Ha'odam argish b'nafshoi. Therefore, a person feels within his own nefesh, within himself, shalei ahava yesh eizeshehu gvul. That ahava, love, again, we're using this just that he's using that as an example of amida, but person feels that ahava has a gvul. It has a limit. Even people who are zeichet to have children, sometimes the kid can make you so crazy that you don't actively feel that you love the kid. Hopefully you believe that somewhere this love is somewhere deep inside of you, but lemaisa, you don't feel that you love the kid. So therefore, the conclusion that the average person reaches is that even something which is as wonderful and expansive as love, in this world that is a world that is created, and it's a world of boundaries and borders, love also has its limitations. The ahava has a kvul, it has a limitation, has its limits. Im hi aisa bilti gvulis, if the love would be unlimited, infinite, hi lo haisa nelam es gam b'shas kas, then even though I would be angry at the kid, I should still feel my love for the kid. But I don't feel any love for him right now. I'm just angry. Many parents have told me a lashon, a nusach like this. I love my kid, but I don't like him. Have you heard that nusach? It's already a chashava, as he's making a birur that I love my kid, I believe in my love for the kid, and that's why I do all kinds of crazy things, and I put up with all of his antics and everything, and but I just don't like the guy. I don't like him. You know, he's annoying, he's loud, he's this, he's that, he doesn't work, whatever it is. I don't like him. But that person is saying, but sof kol sof, it must be that I love him. I just don't like him. But ben kach, since we're very limited, we assume that all of our midas are subject to those limitations. Varai is that when I'm angry, I don't love the kid. Anachnu makirim es ahava michayi hayom yom. So we live with this way of measuring love and recognizing and measuring love from day to day. And from what I can identify, what I see in my life, from my experience, love has limitations. That doesn't sound like it would have been a best-selling record in the 1960s, but love has limitations. All the people that made records about how unlimited love is, they divorced a long time ago. Avamaha emes, what's the truth? Ha'ahava, the bottom of the page. Ha'ahava shanachna makirim b'seichenu, ein lo gvul. The ahava within a Jew, ein lo gvul. Yovo kol adam v'yitun, so any person can come and argue. V'chinitan l'hiskachesh l'shemesh b'tzahrayim. How could you deny the sun in the afternoon? It's an expression which means, what do you mean? What do you mean there's no gvul to love? And you tell me there's no sun in the sky? It's shining on us right now. Hare ani margish sheyesh li gvul. You're telling me that my love is unlimited. It's infinite. But I don't feel that. So what are you arguing with me? Hatshuva hi. Nigla loy chelik mi aisa hava. The Torah's answer to that is, you're only looking at half of the table. You're only looking at the part of the table that's uncovered. You don't see the other part that's covered. Nigla loy chelik mi aisa hava. Whenever you and I are learning a Blat Gemara, we're looking at a piece of the table. You understand? There's the nigla, there's the revealed part. Rabbi Yucham, I'm not saying this from Chassidus. Rabbi Yucham in Chelek Beis of Das Chochma Musa, there's a mimer called Nigla Venista. It's like page Memches, Memtes. There's a mimer Nigla Venista in Rabbi Yucham. And Rabbi Yucham basically is saying this. Now, Rabbi Yucham is saying that when we look at what we're learning, the same way that when we look at the world, we're only seeing the nigla part of the world. We're seeing that part that's revealed. We're only seeing that part that we can experience either with my eyes or my ears. I smell it, but it's only a tiny part. Rabbi Yucham was crying. He said that there are people who are learning Torah, and they think that there are two different Torahs. There's the Nigla of Torah. Now again, I'm not saying this is Mama Kubel. I'm saying for Rabbi Yucham. He learned Kabbalah, Rabbi Yucham. But there are people, Rabbi Yucham is complaining, that they say there's a Nigla of Torah, and there's another thing that's called Nista. Nista, that's for other people. There's a Nigla and there's Nista. Rabbi Yucham says it's not Chas v'chalila. I spent the whole Shavuos night around 12 years ago on this Inyan. Chas v'shalom. It's not two different Torahs, Nigla and Nista. It's one Torah. The part that you happen to understand today, Yud Aleph Mar Cheshvan, Tav Shin Pei Aleph, the part of that you happen to understand is the only reality that you know. That's called Nigla. The rest of it you don't know. That doesn't mean it went away. It's there. You just don't know it. Just like the tables keeps on going after the wall. You don't know it. So the only table you know, you grew up in this house, is the only table you saw. You don't know that next door, the table goes for another 20 feet. He has a bigger apartment, goes for 20 feet the table. You don't know that. So when you and I are learning a Rashi, we're learning a Gemara, we're learning the Nigla, we're learning and we understand it on our level, which even in the Nigla of Torah, we didn't yet learn properly all the Rishonim. And we didn't learn properly in depth Taisus necessarily. So even in the Nigla part, there's stuff that's covered from us. Alas, the Kama Vakama, Rabbi Yucham says, when it comes to the Nister, that's not in the Nigla division of the uncovered table. So it's the same thing when it comes to every Midah. Nigla lo chelak me aisa ahava. You only experience part of the Ahava. Because you think that Hashem gave you a little piece of Ahava from his infinite Ahava, and he said, boom, here, this is yours. A little piece of Ahava. See what you can do with it. Make it into something nice. Love your wife, love your kids, love me, love Torah, love Eretz Yisrael, love flowers, love trees, whatever it is. See what you can do with this. Here's a little bit of my love. Take it, run with it, and see what you can do. It's not true. A Jew comes from that place of Hashem's infinite love. This is a huge thing, Chav. It's very, very, it sounds very posh, but it's not posh. Even when it comes to Hashem's table, Hashem says, Taruch lefonai shulchan. Taruch lefonai shulchan. If we would understand what Shabbos is, if we would understand what it means to be close to Hashem, set your table lefonai in my apartment. See how big the table is in my apartment. Tarach lefonai shulchan. And a Jew says, we're asking Hashem, Tarach lefonai shulchan. We want to be able to see your side of the table, your shulchan in our lives. L'chein hu margish es ha'gvul shebesaychai. Therefore you feel the gvul shebesaychai. The same way there are foods, there are many foods in the world that you or I might be able to really enjoy. But since the time they were kids, we came to the conclusion, for whatever reason, we came to the conclusion that we don't like those foods. One of my daughters, she had crazy limited things that she would eat. She didn't like this, she didn't like this, she didn't like that. And I used to always say, try it. No, I can't. Try it. I'm the same way. I have a very, very limited menu. Very limited. So my wife also says, why? Maybe you'll like it. No. In the Haim, we didn't eat this in the Haim. You know, whatever. No, it's not for me. You know, I make all kinds of cracks about sushi. I never tasted in my life a piece of sushi. Even though it's become part of my routine to make fun of it, I've never tasted it. Could be I would like it. I don't know. There's something about it that just hits me the wrong way. I don't like the way it dresses. I don't like the way it looks. I don't like the way it smells. I just came to the conclusion that it's a goyish ma'achel. It's not Jewish. It's Japanese. It's not for me. I like French fries. I guess they started in France. I don't know. No. Akasha. There are many, many more things in the world that you and I would enjoy eating. But that's not, it's not on my side of the table. That's all. There's a funny thing that I've told you over the years that I remember seeing. When we were kids, we used to read this thing, Mad Magazine. It's from a different world. I don't know if it's still around. It was all written by Jews. It was just very, very funny. I mean, in a strange way. But it was very popular when we were growing up, Mad Magazine. And there was this one cartoon where there was a kid sitting with his parents at the table. Now this kid never spoke a word in his life. He couldn't talk. They took him to all these different doctors, never said a word in his life. He's very like a teenager, never spoke. They're all sitting on the table one night, a regular night, and all of a sudden the kid says, "Hey, Ma, could you pass the ketchup?" They all start crying and they fall on the table. They fall on the floor and they're crying. They're going over, they're hugging him, his brothers, his sisters, his parents, whatever. You know, "Davey, you could talk, Davey. How come you never said anything, Davey? You never said anything." So his answer was, the ketchup was always on my side of the table. I always had the ketchup. This is the first time the ketchup was across the table side. So just, you know, it was the first thing he ever said was, "Ma, could you pass the ketchup?" If the ketchup would have been, the ketchup was by me tonight. So I didn't, there was nothing for me to say. I mean, in the past. Now I had to say it. What we know, what you and I are familiar with, is such a tiny part of our reality. It's just the reality that we know. That's called nigla. So we teach ourselves up from the time that we're kids. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. This is the kind of, you could have little kids saying, you don't understand me. Who are you? You're 9 years old. What do you know? He already thinks he knows himself. You never heard a little kid say, "You don't understand me"? They say, "Well, the kids talk like that all the time." Next page. But the truth is that you and I have within us the midah of ahava. Now, why is it that right now I don't love this person, or I don't love this food, or whatever it is? Okay, there are a million reasons. But the midah of ahava, the capacity to love, is infinite. I mean, I know Jews that love Hashem, even though he killed all of their families and put them behind barbed wire. And they still love God. Is there any bigger test than that? It's an amazing thing. Then you meet other people that they stop loving God because the sushi didn't come out right that night in the restaurant. It's, I can't continue on eating kosher food if my sushi was not good tonight. What, this person has more ahava than the other person? Each one has unlimited ahava. Why is it that the Jew, the survivor, pushed himself and broke through those walls to get to the other side of the table, and is able to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though the Baruch Shalom was the one who took him through that whole terrible trip 70, 80 years ago? How could he continue on? however he did it, which is what the Svarim are about, he was able to find that place on the other side of the wall, the table that continues on. But this other Jew wasn't able to, even though he's living a very nice life and everything is good. He has his family, life is good. He's so bitter, he's so angry, he can't put on tefillin. And the one that was in Auschwitz is putting on tefillin. Can you figure that out? And it doesn't help if you tell this kid, you know, your grandfather, whatever it is, your father, your grandfather put on tefillin. He puts on tefillin, he was in Auschwitz. Why aren't you putting on tefillin? I'm not putting on tefillin because my Rebbe insulted me. Can you explain that? I mean, you can tell him about the Holocaust. It's, you know, crazy. What does that have to do with me? So Rav Schwartz writes in the top of Reish Nun Gimel, Zelo chiddush shali, Eilu divrei chazal hakadoshim, she hizkarnu l'gabi hashechina, that we learned last 2 weeks ago, the mashal of where the guy asked the Tana, how could it be that the Shekhinah is here, how could it be that, what does that mean that God is in all these different places and so on? So the sunlight is in different places also. So this is coming from one sun, and the sunlight is felt over here and it's felt over there. The truth is, the mitzias of all of the midas of Hashem, Ahava, and of the Elokus that is within each and every one of us is without limit. It's without limit. There's a part of, like you have a light, a big light, and if you're covering up the light, then it doesn't shine into that room. Or if you put a black shmat over it, so it comes out black. If you put a different shmat, it comes out green. It comes out whatever it is. Now, the limitations are not the nature of the light itself. The limitations are artificial barriers that are placed upon that light. And as a result of that, you don't experience the light as being, you don't see that light, or the light comes out to be green or orange or red, whatever, it doesn't come out to be regular. Kasha Adam Zoicha Lisais Ulahafnim Yisaidze. If a person is Zoicha to internalize what we're learning now, to really, really internalize it, to think about it a lot, to be mizbainen deeply in this inyan. Because it sounds, as I said before, it sounds simple, but it's not. It's a big yesod. Humakabel meimad acher betfisas anefesh besoichai. He begins to look at himself, his soul, in a completely different way. A new perspective. Meimad acher, a different perspective of what the nefesh is. Eich yachal yoyz she'ein davar imid b'fnei rotzen. There's an expression. Ein davar ha'imid b'fnei rotzen. Nothing can stand up against a person's rotzen, against will. Ein davar ha'imid b'fnei rotzen. So how could that be true? If there are boundaries, that means that there are mechitzas, there are walls. Therefore, what do you mean? So, I want to be a brain surgeon. I want to be the president of America or something. I shouldn't say that now. It could set off a war or something. What do you mean? I could do that. So you tell somebody that has no arms or legs. You know, if you really wanted to, you could pitch for the Yankees. You could be a quarterback for the Jets or something. If they still exist, I don't know if they still exist. He has no arms. He has no legs. So clearly, in Gashmias, that can't be. There are walls. There are barriers. There are limitations. I want to be right this moment. I want to be in Yerushalayim. So I close my eyes and then I make a wish and I wake up in Yerushalayim. So it's me ain't dover how I from the Herods. Nothing can stand in front of will. It's like I told you Erev Shabbos by the Chabur that my granddaughter that on the Zoom, the teacher was screaming it in a nice way to all the girls, girls, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. And I was in the kitchen. I heard my granddaughter say, it's not true. I do nothing all the time. What do you mean nothing is impossible? I'm always doing nothing. Because they're all out of school. They're sitting around. She says, nothing is impossible. Nothing is possible. What does it mean? Ain't dover ayman b'fnei ratz. Shmuley liked that. It's a deep fart. That Avigal, that's Chumi's daughter. And surely, it's a deep fart, she said. Nothing is possible. Nothing is possible. Harry Eshkvul, the Mechitzes, the Gvulim. Mashu Maneim and Aldim, Lamamish Shvitzon, there are things that are in the way of my actualizing my will, my Ratzon. I want to work as the interpreter for the president of France to interpret into English. So the person says to him, yeah, but you don't know a word of French. He says, I want to be the interpreter. I want to translate from French to English. Kiba oimek, ba oimek. Those examples, of course, are all Narishkeit. That's not what this means. I want to pitch for the Yankees. I want to translate. Kiba oimek, the koiches anefesh shabanu engvul. Ba oimek, the koiches anefesh are without a gvul. Chazal Oymim, Chazal say, Melech Pareitz Geder Lasis Leiderech Vein Moichin Biyodam. The Gemara tells us a halacha that if the king goes out, if a Melech Yisrael goes out to war, and in order for him to be able to move forward with the army, because they have to get to where they need to go quickly. There's private property. There are fences and boundaries. The din is, Melech Peretz Geder Lasis Leiderech. A king has the right, according to the Torah, to break down those fences and to make a pathway for the army to go. Melech Peretz Leiderech Ve'ein Moichim Biyodam. You can't protest. You can't resist. You can't fight against it. A melech knows how to break down all boundaries. A melech knows how. Vayber Mishnah Maseches Shabbos, Nema Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim Heim. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught, Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim Heim. It's a Mishnah in Shabbos. To every Jew is a Ben Melech. Malchus. In each Jew, there's this bechina of malchus. And this unique koach of the king is manifested in this halacha. That ain't moichim biyada. That you're not allowed to. You can't get in the way of the king. You can't stop the king. Ain efsharos lahagbeleisa. Meimadze. This dimension. Kayim b'chol nefesh v'nefesh me'am yisrael. Exists b'chol nefesh v'nefesh me'am yisrael. In each and every Jew. Kutchabuchov Yisrael Chadhu. Hashem and a Jew and Yisrael are one. Klemen Nigla Behem Hamemet Shal Ha'ein Sai. It means that the infinite dimension of Elokus is revealed in a Jew. Madua al derech klal ein mishum ezahai say rak mat. How come in our lives, most of us in our lives, we just find a little bit, not anything infinite, a little bit of ahava, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, not infinite. Because we base our decisions and we relate only to those things that we experience, that we can sense. And in the tangible physical world, we see that everything is limited. My abilities are limited. In every respect, there's doing good things in my good midas and my bad midas. There are also limitations. How far would I go to do something bad, and so on? But he sees himself as being essentially he's a bal gvul. I'm sure you all know it's already very famous that the Kozum Rebbe Schussi Aleinu did not allow his gaboim to carry in his svarim, his gemaras and things when he came to give the shiur. When he would give the shiur, he didn't allow the gaboim to carry the svarim. And that's the rabbi. They weren't happy. The rabbi was carrying his gemaras and his shulchan aruchs, and the gaboim wanted to take from the rabbi his gemaras and things to carry when they were walking him in to give the shiur. And the close of Mugger Rebbe said. The Chosam Rebbe said that when I was young, I believed that I was a weak person, physically weak and frail. I was learning day and night, and whatever it was, I believed myself to be weak and frail. But then I found out something very, very interesting in the big Bais HaMedrash of the concentration camp. I found out something very interesting, that the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, one of the jobs that they had us do was to carry these iron rails. They were building a railroad, and we had to carry these iron rails. Each one weighed like 100, 200 gemaras. And if you drop the rail, if you drop it, then they shoot you. So I discovered that I'm able to carry these iron rails from the railroad. So I decided that if I survived that, I'm going to carry my own gemara. I'm a lot stronger than I ever thought I was. I'm not the person that is so weak that I thought I was so weak. So the Rebbe did not let anybody carry his gemaras this far. He said, I'm able to carry for the Germans. So I realized that I'm much stronger than I ever thought I was. So we know that when a person, that there are stories of people that they had a kid. The kid got, there was a tire of the car on top of this person's kid. And some lady picked up the car. There are stories like this. That's not bubamaisis. There are real things like that. So they blame that on adrenaline, that there's a chemical that you don't normally use. It's called adrenaline. And when it's an emergency, so then you could give yourself like this shot of adrenaline. And you could do something like really chashuv that you couldn't normally do. So you see, even in the koyches haguf, there are the boundaries are much, 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 much further beyond what we imagine them to be. In ruchnias, halachas kama v'kama. When it comes to ruchnias, the koyches hanefesh. I told you a few months ago, I think maybe by the summer, before the summer, that there was these two Lubavitch Chassidim that they were teaching Torah by the communists in communist Russia. They were teaching Torah from the time, you know, from the time of communism. They were teaching Torah for all the years, and they were in jail many times and all kinds of stuff. They were teaching Torah, and then finally, when Russia opened up. These two Chassidim, they came to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Schussi Aleinu, and they still look like old Chassidim from Russia. And they came to Lubavitcher Rebbe, and Lubavitcher Rebbe asked them about all that they had gone through, what they were doing, what they had done. And then the Lubavitcher told them, you know what, go visit Rav Moshe Feinstein. He'll enjoy having a meeting with you. Go to visit Rav Moshe. So these two Lubavitches, these two old Russian Hasidim, they went to meet Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe Feinstein was talking to them. And Rav Moshe asked them, did you, when you were there by the communists, did you also wear a beard? And You also, you wore your talis cotton and you kept Shabbos, you kept everything. And the Tuchsidim said, Rada, sure we did. Now, Rav Moshe knew communism because Rav Moshe ran away from the communists. He said, Rav Moshe, you kept Shabbos and you taught your kids Torah? He said, yeah, our kids are from, we taught them. And you had a sukkah? Why do we have a sukkah? So Rav Moshe said, how did you do that? How did you go like this? How did you do that? So one of them said, did we have a choice? We had no choice. And Rav Moshe started to cry. And he couldn't get over this. He contacted Lubavitcher Rebbe to thank him. He said, you send me these chassidim. In other words, what was Rav Moshe crying about? What was he so nispal from? He was nispal that for these two guys, the inyan of putting up a sukkah was like this lady taking a kid from out under the car, you understand? To live without davening, to live without a beard, to live without a Jewish life, it's just kind of labor, it's not a life. Can we explain to the governor of New York, can we explain to him that learning Torah is something which is essential to us? He looks at Torah the way that he looks at math or science, or the way that he looks at anything, a book. That right now you can't read those books. The kids can't read those books now. He doesn't understand where we're coming from. What it means when you close down yeshivas. I'm not good whether it's right, whether it's wrong. That's not the point. But why is it that Jews are putting in such a fuss over yeshivas being closed down? Or about the shul being closed down? Why do you make such a big fuss over it? And they think, you know, human life is at stake. I don't know. Okay. With the schools, let's say, that human lives, even though they haven't found teachers dying or kids dying in schools anywhere, but let's say there's some danger. Very, very minute. Less than the possibility of the kid choking on a candy bar. But let's say there's some danger. But you can't explain to that person that the danger for a Jew living a life without Yiddishkeit is much worse. They can't think like that. So here I'm just showing you there's such a clear example where when it comes to limitations, physical limitations, all of us say, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do that. I'm just like, I'm no stronger than the guy down the block, the non-Jew, than the guy down the block. I'm no different. I'm not a superman. But yet, when it comes to what you and I see as essential needs, when we daven at night, the Maariv, we say, Ki hem chayenu v'arachimenu, the Torah is my life. Yiddishkeit's my life. Those Hasidim were saying to Rav Moshe, did we have a choice? We didn't have a choice not to wear beards. We didn't have a choice not to daven. We didn't have a choice not to learn. We didn't have a choice not to have a sukkah. There's no choice, so we did what we have to do. They didn't like say, we did some gewaldige thing. Like nowadays, if a person goes to daven once a week, mincha betzibur, he thinks he's the next God Lador. These two chassidim, they said, did we have a choice? That's who we are. And if you take that away from us, our life is not, my life is not worth anything without shul. My life is not worth anything without tar. My life is worthless without a Shabbos or Yantik. My life is worthless. So what they were saying to Rav Moshe is that they were saying, Rabbi, our Yiddishkeit, we feel, comes from a place that's unlimited, that even the communists and all of their threats couldn't get in the way of. Didn't stop us. I'm not recommending civil disobedience over here now in New York, but I'm just using this as a muscle. You're not afraid of the Cossacks? No. You don't believe in Cossacks? No, they are Cossacks. They're bad people. But it's not going to stop me from davening. And if I have to go underground, I'll go underground. But I'm not going to stop davening. That's a person who's tapping into a deeper place along the continuum of infinite love. Or infinite year, or whatever you want to call it. It's infinite. But a Jew has these kaychas. That just means Kol Yisrael B'nai Melachim. This is in every single Jew. But we sell ourselves short because the only reality that we know is the reality that we see. It's the only reality that we know. Ahrei Kra Kosa Ramban. The Ramban said that Aristotle was a genius. Nobody disagrees that Aristotle was a genius. The mistake of Aristotle is that he only believed in what he saw with his eyes. That was his mistake. And that's why he made so many mistakes. That's why, even though he was the biggest genius, we now understand that Aristotle's ideas are nonsense, total nonsense. For the most part, nonsense. Nobody studies Aristotle. Nobody cares about Aristotle anymore. Nobody studies his things. Maybe a couple of people that, whatever, you know, the ones that still want to speak Latin, they're studying Aristotle. I don't know. Maybe there are a couple of Aristotelians in the world, but it's not the typical subject that our kids would be interested in studying in college. And the Ramban says Aristotle was a big genius. The problem was that he stopped at a certain point. That point was whatever he was able to sense with his limited, and even though he was a genius, with his intellect, which was limited, and his physical senses, which could only observe the world, the limitations that he had at his time. He didn't have a telescope. Aristotle was pre-telescope. He didn't have a telescope. He didn't have a microscope. See, touched up and see is according to what he was able to see with his eyes. And the eyes can't see anything smaller than whatever, smaller than a crumb or something. The eyes can't see. So that's where Aristotle stopped. He didn't believe that there's something beyond what you could feel, what you could sense. If a Jew would believe that Hashem didn't give us these kaiches, Hashem brought you in. Hashem brought you into his infinite world. That's what it means to be a Jew. So Aristotle was limited. If a person would believe that, he would look at himself and would look at everybody else completely differently. It doesn't mean he'd all of a sudden be able to lift up a building. It doesn't mean all of a sudden he becomes Superman. It doesn't mean all of a sudden he can go and translate French into English. That's not what it means. What it means, which he's going to talk about now, what it means is that in the Mizgeris that I'm in, I have chosen for all kinds of psychological, spiritual reasons to very, very, very badly limit and cripple the koiches and efforts that I have. Koiches and efforts don't necessarily translate into infinite koiches aguf. The guf is limited. So therefore, just because I want to be able to do something physically doesn't mean I can do this. And even if a person's adrenaline is running, that doesn't mean that lady who picked up the car off of her kid could pick up two cars or a truck. It's limited. Because Hashem, with the Yid, Hashem has taken a Jew and has brought him into a place where the Koiches and Nefesh are without Gvulim. not physical, but the koach is a nefesh. And if a person would know this and would believe in this, then he would look at himself and all other Jews in a completely different way. Like the altar from the Vardik, that he was a gibor, an unbelievable person, a tzaddik. And there's a famous saying from him, I never think before doing something, I never think if I can or if I can't. I only think if I have to or I don't have to. If I have to, that's my achrayus to work at it. That's all. I don't think of whether I can or I can't. Just do I have to? And even with that small machshava, a person lives in that world, do I have to? He discovers that he can much, much, much more than he thought he could do. He could do much, much, much more than he thought. The reason he doesn't do that much is because he doesn't feel that he needs to. He doesn't feel that he needs to. But if he feels that he needs to, ein gvul. There's no gvul. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue. We'll try to, I don't think we'll finish, maybe two more times, in Mitzvah Hashem, three more times. We'll finish the Sefer. And then that will take us into the world of his Abadus, Be'ez Hashem. Okay, if I don't see any of you before Shabbos, you should have left to give Shabbos. At least to try to, if you're zeichet to have children, to try to think of them, and at least to begin with the kids, to think of them in this way. It's a different way of looking at the children. Unlimited, without gvul. Okay.